Welcome to the Compliance 911 Show, a no-nonsense podcast discussing hot topics for today's busy compliance professional. It's everything you wanted to know about regulatory compliance, but we're afraid to ask. And now, here are your hosts, Dean Stockford of M&M Consulting and Lynn Susio of GeoData Vision.
Welcome to our podcast series, addressing everything you wanted to know about regulatory compliance, but were afraid to ask. I'm Dean Stockford, and we're joined today by my good friend, Lynn Susio from GeoData Vision. Lynn, here we are, April 3rd, 2024, only a few days after a Texas federal judge issued a preliminary injunction against the 2023 CRA rule. Let me guess, Lynn, is that going to be your topic of discussion today?
Dean, you must be clairvoyant. Yes, the court action has been the talk of the industry as we begin the week after Easter. Everyone's asking, what did the court say? And what does this mean for the new rule and for the industry? So I think it's a timely topic to discuss in today's podcast.
I would agree. I guess the big question is, where do we begin?
Well, I thought it would be good to start with what the court did and then proceed to discuss the court's explanation for its decision, and then finally talk briefly about the implications for the industry.
Okay, so that, what exactly did the court say? I mean, obviously, we're not attorneys, but can you unpack that for us?
Sure. Well, let's begin with the court issued a, quote, temporary injunction, meaning that the implementation of the regulation is delayed pending the legal proceedings. So it's important to understand that the court did not strike down the new rule or make any decision, except that the court basically said there are strong grounds for believing that federal banking regulators may have exceeded their authority. The court could have avoided issuing a temporary injunction, but decided that, quote, the plaintiffs had demonstrated a substantial threat of irreparable injury. And they specifically cited the projected costs to comply with the final rule, and moreover, that the balance of equities in the public interest supported injunctive relief. Therefore, the court issued a, quote, temporary injunction on the implementation of the rule, which was scheduled to take effect only 2 days ago as we're doing this recording on April 1st.
So how long will that injunction stay in effect, Lynn?
Well, the injunction will stay in effect until the court decides a case, which likely will take the better part of 2024. After that, the injunction may stay in effect if the judge decides on behalf of the plaintiffs and the agencies appeal the decision. On the other hand, if the agencies win the case, then it's a virtual certainty the plaintiffs will appeal the decision. Under those circumstances, the injunction may very well be lifted.
So did the court explain its decision to grant a temporary injunction? And if so, what did they say?
Yes. The court did explain its decision to grant the temporary injunction, and the explanation is a good indication of how the court is likely to rule in its final decision. The court identified four reasons that indicate probable cause the 2023 CRA rule may be legally vulnerable. First, the court concluded that the agency's reading of the phrase, quote, entire community, end quote, is not consistent with within the meaning of the Community Reinvestment Act, which the court said was intended to limit the markets for CRA evaluation to areas where a bank has a deposit-taking footprint. The new rule expanded the markets for, quote, a large bank CRA evaluation to anywhere in the entire country where the bank had engaged in lending activities. These areas outside the traditional facility-based assessment areas expanded CRA assessment areas way beyond the traditional branch-oriented markets. It's one of the most radical provisions in the new rule. And moreover, the expansion of the market subject to evaluation essentially was a complete contradiction of the agency's enforcement of the rule, since 1977. Not only did the newly defined assessment areas, in other words, the retail lending test areas and the outside retail lending area, appear to be inconsistent within the meaning of the Community Reinvestment Act, they actually contradicted the longstanding agency enforcement of how assessment areas have been defined in the regulation and in the law itself. The second thing the court said was it questioned the agency's authority to apply the regulation to deposits and other retail banking products. Essentially, the court said that the CRA authorizes regulators to regulate credit activities only. In its decision, the court stated, in every operative provision of the CRA, Congress specified that only credit activity need be considered. Excuse me. So that was the second reason identified by the court. Then the court proceeded to a third reason. The court cited the what they call the major questions doctrine, which weighs in the plaintiff's favor in this case. Essentially, the court said that in nearly 50 years of regulatory enforcement and legislative action since the inception of the CRA, Congress had not passed legislation to shift CRA assessment areas away from the deposit-taking facilities that it always was understood was the focus of CRA, and then to move to areas way beyond those communities where a bank is engaged in retail lending. And then finally, the court decided to grant the injunctive relief because the plaintiffs had demonstrated, quote, with ease, that was the phrase the judge used in the decision, that they were likely to succeed on the merits, and there's no public interest in the perpetuation of what would therefore be an unlawful agency action. In addition, the court determined that the plaintiffs had demonstrated a substantial threat of irreparable harm, specifically citing the bank's projected costs to comply with the final rule. So those are the four reasons cited in the judge's decision to grant temporary injunctive relief.
Wow. If I was the jury, that sounds like a resounding defeat of the agencies.
Yeah, it certainly does appear that way, doesn't it? Yeah. But it's not only the injunctive relief, but the court found, quote, a substantial likelihood, end quote, of the plaintiff's success on the ground that the regulation exceeded the regulator statutory authority as applied under the new rule. It sounds like the plaintiffs are very likely to win their litigation. But no matter what the court's decision, this is likely to wend its way to the Supreme Court, which means the court proceedings are likely to go into 2025.
Well, I'll take it that you've read the decision, ultimately. If so, what's your opinion, Len?
Yes, I did read the full decision. It was very interesting. And the judge really impressed me with the way he articulated the arguments on the two critical issues on which the agency's authority hinges. First, the legality of the radically expanded interpretation of the new assessment areas. And second, the legality of the agency's claiming authority to evaluate deposit in retail banking services. Among other points, the judge cites section 2902, subsection 4 of the CRA that pertains to how an assessment area applies to an institution whose business predominantly consists of serving the needs of military personnel who are not located within a defined geographic area, allowing the institution to, quote, define its entire community to its entire customer base without regard to geographic proximity. The judge reasoned and pointed out that under those circumstances, an institution is allowed an exception to the facility-based assessment area definition. That exception would not be needed if the entire community could be interpreted as the agencies now propose in the new CRA rule, that is, anywhere where a bank engages in lending CRA-related loans.
Well, Len, I know a few years ago when the notice of proposed rulemaking came out, we were enlightened by the gentleman who wrote the book, Dr. Ken Thomas, and he just offered some valuable opinions relative to CRA. So what's your opinion on how this will proceed and how banks should prepare?
Well, I really do believe, based on my reading of the judge's wording in the temporary injunctive relief decision, that the court's going to rule in favor of the banks, and that the agencies will then appeal the decision, which will eventually arrive in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. In the meantime, though, I would advise banks to diligently comply with the current rule. Remember, since only the OCC published calibrated metrics, the Fed and the OCC did not back in 2020. We have no way of knowing whether the agencies have applied the calibrated benchmarks in the new rule. I strongly suspect they are doing just that, and thereby effectively, quote, raising the bar without anyone being the wiser for it. Remember, that was one of the goals, as announced by FDIC Chair Grinberg, that they wanted to raise the bar with the new CRA. And since the proposed calibrated benchmarks are 80% for market benchmarks and 60% for community benchmarks to get a satisfactory rating, I would suggest that bankers compute those calibrated benchmarks and start using them as minimum targets to achieve at least a satisfactory performance rating on the lending test. This is something that the agencies didn't even have to make a proposal for. They could have gone along and just basically told examiners, here's what the standards are going to be, the new raised standards, and no one would even be aware of it. And I think that's exactly what's going on right now, since the intention was to raise the bar. So I will reiterate, every bank listening to this broadcast should assume that the 80% calibrated standard for the market data and the 60% calibrated standard for the community, or what they call demographic benchmarks, they should be computing what those standards are and then comparing their results to those standards and make certain that you've at least exceeded one or the other.
Well, as the old saying goes, it ain't over till it's over, Len. So I really like your recommended course of action for these banks. It certainly makes a good sense, good business sense. And thanks for enlightening our audience on the litigation and where the CRA rule actually rests. So kudos to you. This is Dean Stockford from M&M Consulting.
And this is Len Suzio with GeoDataVision saying thank you for listening in today. And again, we always remind our audience, let us know of any subjects you would like us to address in future podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Compliance 911 Show. If you like the podcast, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, please give us a like and review to help others find the show. As always, links are in the show notes, and you can always find us online at compliance911show.com. Follow M&M Consulting and GeoDataVision on LinkedIn for all the latest news and information on compliance hot topics.